Thanks for joining us on KPUPLP Patagonia 100.5 FM Community Talk. I'm your host, Julie Holding. Community Talk airs every other week, alternating with Charlotte Lowe's show at the same time, 5 p.m. Sundays on KPUP, Patagonia Community Radio. Now, I'm very pleased to welcome our three guests, Jean Horseman, Together Green Project Leader, Wayne Porter, Together Green Graduate Fellow, and Linda Kennedy, Director of the Appleton-Whittell Research Ranch of the National Audubon Society. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
It Pays to Save is the motto of the Together Green Project, an opportunity that everyone in the Patagonia, Sonoyta, and Elgin region can be proud of and part of. Now, to get us started with understanding what this new opportunity is for our region, I'd like to start off with where our listeners may have kind of left off in terms of all the planning for this, and that is the expo that was held in April. I know that we publicized that quite a bit on the radio station, and there were a number of people from the Patagonia area and the Sonoyta, Elgin, all around the region who went. But Jean, you were very involved in that. Could you give us an update on what happened with that?
Well, Julie, the expo was an extreme success. We had over 300 people attend on a very bad weather day, to say the least. We got some sleet. And a lot of the people were spent time with the vendors actually asking questions, not just picking up literature. So we were using this primarily to show people how they could lower their energy bills and how they could possibly put renewable energy systems on their homes and businesses. We had a number of speakers there, from Gabrielle Gifford's office. John Maynard came in and gave a talk, and each of the vendors were given time to speak about what their products were and how they could be used in the homes. So that sort of sparked our interest in expanding on the renewable energy theme, and that is part of what this green grant is all about.
Okay, so then what happened after the expo? What was your thinking that led to this Together Green project? What were you looking for?
We found from the expo that a lot of people weren't aware of what was available, and it's a very confusing issue with all of the government grants and the funding coming out from the...
What do you mean by what was available?
The different types of systems you could install, how you could retrofit your home, how you could conserve, and how you could put renewables on your home. A lot of that is expensive to do. We recognize that, and the government has recognized that too. So they have a lot of programs that are available to be passed down to the counties and the cities and the individuals to be able to afford to weatherize, to retrofit, and to put renewables on their home. It does begin with conservation, though. The more you can conserve on your energy bill, the more you'll save. Plus, if you decide to do retrofits and to install any renewables, you won't need as large an amount because you already are saving money.
So why is it that people are getting more and more concerned about this right now? What is causing this need to be looking into these complicated things?
Well, it basically stems from Sulphur Springs Valley Electric's annual meeting where Creedon Huber, the CEO, told us that our electric rates would be going up 40 to 400% in the future. So that's something that all of us are going to be seeing on our bills besides the rate increase that they just had approved.
So that's, is there a time frame for when this might happen?
No, as power gets more expensive across the United States, those expenses are going to be passed down through the companies down to us.
And why do you think power is going to be getting more expensive?
Mostly because the power in the United States is supplied by coal, and there are a number of initiatives out there to cause the coal companies to try to green their coal or to make clean coal. And a lot of the states are instituting renewable energy requirements that the power companies are going to be meeting in the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And those green initiatives that they have to implement are not going to be cheap.
Okay, so all of us in the rural areas are going to be facing higher energy costs.
Yes.
And so what you were looking at after the expo was other things that could be done to help people reduce their carbon footprint or how much energy they use from carbon sources.
Yes. We are trying to find ways that will allow them to reduce their consumption, that will save money, and then to do other things that will help them save even more. And if we're really successful, we're going to try to get it so it'll cost them almost nothing. But that's a long-term goal.
Okay, so then after the expo, you were looking around for models of how to help regions do this?
Yes, we did some extensive looking around and found that the only place where small rural communities are doing things like this was in Europe. It's fairly extensive in Germany, where each of the little communities supplies their own power. In the United States, we have the large transmission lines that cut across everywhere, and they bring power from wherever it's needed. A lot of our power comes from New Mexico and travels across those huge towers that you see. And we'd like to see the power come into this area in a lot smaller amounts, enough that we need. And we would like to be able to reduce our own so we'll need less, and eventually we might be able to produce enough to sell it back, and then everybody could make some money.
Okay, and so then what took you from that step to the Together Green project?
We were looking for ways to implement an education program to help people understand what the issues were and what they could do. And Linda Kennedy found that there was a grant program through Autobahn. It's an alliance between Toyota and Autobahn. Toyota has given Autobahn $20 million over 5 years, and this is the second year. They are to fund innovative grant programs that will help habitat, the environment, bring diverse people together, and it's a nationwide program. This year they awarded 48 grants, and ours was one of those 48, and we were one of three that got full funding. It was a very competitive process, but the reviewers for these grants were very excited by our project. They just thought it was one of the greatest things they'd seen, so they just jumped on it and they gave us full funding.
So then I remember when we were visiting before the show, you mentioned that this project has a uniqueness in the country. Would you want to speak to that?
We are the only ones, well, I won't say the only ones, we are one of the very few that are looking at a community-based energy program.
And by community, you mean the whole eastern county?
Yes, okay. The northeast county, including Patagonia, Sonoyta, Elgin, Canelo. We are trying to get the entire community involved so that people can network with each other and help each other and come up with ways that all of us will be able to afford to live here in the future.
Okay, so specifically, what will people in Patagonia see coming out of this? What's the first way that they can interact with what you're doing?
We're in the process right now of putting together our plan for how we're going to set up a grassroots education program. We hope to be holding seminars and workshops and set up a program with the schools to start teaching the children how to conserve and basically to help people understand what they can do and how they can afford it.
Along those lines, this morning as I was getting ready for the show, I went to the Together Green website. It's www.togethergreen.org, and I was amazed at the kind of specific information that was there. Would you like to describe that a little bit?
Oh, that's oh, you got me on that
okay,
one.
Well,
I've looked at it and gone through some of the different programs.
I'll describe my experience of it if that would help.
Yeah.
I was just amazed at how many specific actions, everything from keeping the tires adequately inflated on the vehicle to things that could be done at the workplace, things that can be done at the home, things that could be done in mm-hmm. other forms of transportation. I was also amazed at it's a very rich site, I found,
yes.
With so many different ways to engage with the information. Mm-hmm. But have you taken the personality profile?
Oh, actually, I did take one of them, yes.
I found that to be really interesting. And what this is, for our listeners, it's an opportunity to answer 14 different questions that are kind of multiple choice, and you pick which answer best suits what you prefer. And then at the end, they give you a recommendation on how you can increasingly interact with this material about how to reduce our carbon footprint and our energy consumption out of fossil fuels, and how you can also convey to other people. And so for me, I ended up being classified in a group of people called the teachers, and they suggested that I would be a good person to read things and then communicate about them. And I thought, well, that's what I'm going to do on my show this afternoon. So anyway, the Together Green effort is nationwide, and there are just many, many ways to engage with it.
Yes, it is a huge program, and it is becoming very successful, which is the nice thing about it. Toyota is really committed to this program, and a number of their strategies are very innovative, and that's what they were looking at with this grant. It was something new, had never been done, and they thought it was an excellent thing to try.
Okay, so then at one point you mentioned a survey. Could you tell us about that?
We'll be starting out with a survey to try to find out where people's knowledge is, so we know how to target everyone to get the best information across to them. So in the not too distant future, we'll be mailing out a survey, and we hope everybody will respond to it so we can better set up programs to meet their needs. We don't want to come in and just dictate to everybody and say, this is how you do it. We want people to engage and be part of this process and to tell us what they need and how best we can help them.
Okay, and how will people receive that survey? Is that going to be mailed, or
it'll be through the mail.
So box holders?
We would like to do it individually. We may not be able to afford that.
Okay, but so people could be looking for it in
however
they get their mail.
Yes, and it will have the Together Green logo on it. So look for the words Together Green.
Okay. Now, which other local organizations are involved with the project?
The Audubon Research Ranch, part of the grant, required that they team with some nonprofit organizations. So they have teamed with the Sonoyta Crossroads Community Forum and the Cienega Watershed Partnership. The Crossroads Forum, for those that aren't familiar with, is a community group that meets quarterly and passes and transfers information of what's happening in the community, allowing a question and answer session. It addresses issues that people are concerned about or may need to know more about. The Cienega Watershed Partnership is a coalition of different groups that are mainly concerned with our water resources here and up in Tucson. It's a fairly extensive organization.
And I'm not that familiar with the Watershed Partnership. Is that a collection of organizations that are involved in that, or individuals?
It's a collection of organizations, mm-hmm. and they meet once a month to determine what is happening with our watersheds and how they can help deal with it.
Okay, Wayne, tell us about your role in the Together Green project. What are you going to be doing?
Well, I feel very privileged to have been chosen as the Together Green Fellow. I'm a master's degree student at the Arizona State University School of Sustainability, and I think I related very much. I haven't taken the Together Green personality survey, but I think I would probably fall into that role of being a teacher. I do anticipate very much teaching community members about these ideas and really how they can save money. They don't have to necessarily buy a solar energy system. There's a lot of ways that they can save on their electricity bill by conserving and other efficiency measures. And really, that's what they need to do before they even consider buying solar technology. But getting back to my role, I look forward to helping design the survey and getting the survey out to community members and then analyzing the results learning about the community. This is a beautiful area. I am a native Arizonan, but have not spent much time down in this area, and it was just spectacular scenery driving in. I'm really going to enjoy my time for the next year.
Now, I've also heard that you'll be working on a case study. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, one of the objectives of the Together Green grant was to develop a model that can be applied to other rural areas of how to do these things that we plan to do here, to reach out to the community, to provide seminars, workshops, website presence, any way that we can that was, and this is one of the things that we're going to be learning over the next year here, is which of these techniques are the most effective in reaching the community members that are, you know, widely dispersed over large geographical areas. And so one of the objectives of the grant is to develop a replicable model, databases, other information infrastructure elements that will allow other communities to adopt the successful elements of what we're doing here. So then we see this our efforts in this region as being a case study that would be one example of using that model.
That's great. And so I think that's one of the ways that this is potentially very important for our region, because we can be a model for other places in the country in terms of how rural areas work together to try to reduce carbon emissions.
Yes, this is one of the compelling elements that made me extremely interested in applying for this fellowship, and because it has, you know, much greater potential than just affecting this area. Although I think we will have an impact here in terms of lowering people's residents' energy usage, and also encouraging them where appropriate to install solar technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if people have been interested in what they've heard and have thought to themselves, how can I get involved, more involved? Maybe there's some folks who have some ideas they'd like to share or other ways they'd like to participate.
Well,
what can they do?
Yes, earlier you mentioned what is one of some of the early ways they can get involved. And in 2 weeks, on 2 weeks from yesterday, October 24th, is an International Day of Climate Action. And just by my shoestrings, I'm planning to organize an event here in Patagonia that will be one of many events around the world in conjunction with this International Day of Climate Action. I'm new to your community. I'm not new to Arizona, but I am definitely a city boy, and I really, as one of the first things I like to do is to reach out to community members here who might be interested in participating in the International Day of Climate Action to provide some feedback to me as to what you would find interesting, what would be informative and interesting to you that might draw you out to an event that we would have in Patagonia on October 24th. So I would like to ask anybody listening that is interested in that or has any suggestions of what we might do to email me, weporter@asu.edu. Again, that's weporter@asu.edu with any ideas or suggestions or volunteer of your time or ideas. I would greatly appreciate that feedback.
What kinds of things? I mean, I know that you want to get feedback from the community about what the community would like to see, but do you know what kinds of things other communities are doing on the international this day on October 24th?
Well, I know that there some have some fairly large events planned with bands and free food and other draws to get more people out. Here would probably be more low key. Some of the ideas I thought of were doing a PowerPoint presentation. I do go to my strengths. This is things that I do as a student. I'd like to show some examples of some of the indirect effects of climate change that are happening around the world right now. Not how the glaciers are melting or sea levels rising, but how the people are affected, and to show some visually show some of the impacts on the people and how people's lives are being changed by climate change right now.
And can you give us just a brief example of that?
Yes, there was shrimp fishermen in northern Japan. They have sailboats that allow them to move across a bay where they harvest sustainably. They've been harvesting shrimp there for hundreds of years with these boats, and a severe storm just last summer or earlier this year. It was in the spring. Just essentially devastated their whole shrimp fishery. It was what we call here a 100-year storm, because it tore up the sediments and really devastated their shrimp harvest this year. And these storms, the scientists know that one of the impacts of climate change are changing weather patterns, and this storm is a clear example that affected these shrimp harvesters, and the storm was a mm-hmm.
So it was a larger storm than they would usually have
than they have seen in their recorded history. It's the biggest storm that they have seen. So large, more severe hurricanes. And this is not a hurricane strength storm, but it was near hurricane strength and mm-hmm. virtually unprecedented, mm-hmm. at least in the recorded history of that area.
Mm.
So that's one example.
You have other examples and photographs
Absolutely.
That you could share with people
Yes.
about things that are happening now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that would be the one thing that I would want to do, and I'd like to get feedback for. What people want to know about it, because I mean I'm coming in as mm-hmm. an educated expert, but with little experience in the field, but with access to information about how people are being affected by these changes around the world.
Mm-hmm. You may be familiar with this, but next and last in the series of monthly meetings in Patagonia called Caring for Planet Earth Begins at Home takes place this Friday, October 16th, and Saturday, October 17th. It's two meetings to give everybody a chance to come. If they can't come on Saturday, they could come Friday. If they can't come Friday, they could come Saturday to hear the results of this year-long series of meetings. And it's possible that group could give you some ideas if you're interested. And I'll be giving a little bit more information about that at the end of the show and the upcoming events.
Absolutely.
That would be somebody
I would love to talk to.
Yeah, that would be a great place for you to talk with people who are already involved and concerned about these issues. Well, is there anything else about the Together Green that we should share with the listeners before we go into upcoming events?
Participate. It'll only be as good as you help us make it.
I just hope everyone out there feels like this is a project that's their project. It's not ours. We're here to help do what you want to do. This is one of the really neat situations where environmental concerns and economy meshes, because we're all concerned about what's happened with the economy and what seems to be happening in the future. And many of us are also concerned about negative impacts to the environment. And this is something that we can all get together and feel good about saving money and maybe doing a little share of saving the environment.
I really appreciate that, because I think that when I think about trying to put in a solar system or something like that where I live, it seems very complex. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a mechanic. And all of that seems very complex. And so to have help with sorting out what can be done, what's, you know, an efficient way to do it, a cost-effective way to do it, would be something I'd really be interested in, because I just don't have the time and the inclination to do the kind of research that some people have done. I mean, there are people in Patagonia who have put in some very elaborate systems and some simple systems, but they have a little more technical know-how than I do. So I'm really excited about this project and glad that you all are working on this and appreciate what you're doing. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Listen to local Patagonia interviews every Sunday at 5 o'clock on KPUPLP Patagonia 100.5 FM.